Hi, this is Undarian with the Academy for Modding Excellence.
Hi, this is Tyler, a.k.a. Ty Bay, and you are listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting! Wow! Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, everybody. This is Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Skunk.
Hey, and this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashokan.
And you're listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, you're listening to episode 103, the podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. Hey, tonight we have a special show, Skunk.
Yes.
Tony, a.k.a. Undarian, and Tyler, a.k.a. Tyler the Great, are joining us tonight. They're the chairman and vice chairman of the Academy for Modding Excellence, and they will be announcing the finalist for the 2008 NWN1 Golden Dragon Awards.
Tyler the Great. He insults me all the time. He's not
Ty Bay the Great. Did I say Tyler?
Yeah.
Tyler, a.k.a. Ty Bay the Great.
We'll see if he behaves tonight. We're also streaming right now, folks, to a live audience in the Neverwinter Nights podcast IRC channel. And Michelle is hanging out in there, Liso, and she's going to be taking questions later on here for Tony and Ty Bay discussing the AME Awards as they name off the nominees. Before that, we have a little bit of news, don't we?
Yes, we do. Hey, the Vault screenshot contest is finishing up on the 19th, so be sure and get your entries in for that.
It's going to be some tough competition.
Yeah, I think Michelle's put some into that one.
Yeah, she PM'd me saying, oh my God, I can't believe I entered a contest. She'll do fine. The milking cookies might win.
Did you enter any screenshots in?
Nah, I haven't done the screenshot ones. But really, wouldn't it be tough competition? You know, Michelle, she has Johnny Lee. He can produce anything for her. All his stuff goes, you know, straight to Hall of Fame on there.
Well, hey, speaking of contests, Beyond the Pale is getting the Mystery of Westgate codes out for the winners of the Vault custom content contest, I guess, that they held last summer.
Uh-huh. Oh, that'll be great. I have already played Mysteries of Westgate, because I bought it right when it came out.
Cool.
And it is wicked. I played two different paths. I played as evil, and I enjoyed that pretty much, but the good path I loved the most. And it was so good. Mysteries of Westgate was like good sex. I needed a cigarette afterwards.
Oh my gosh.
Way to go. Way to go, Aussie, and that was a wicked game.
Yes, awesome. They also had some, as you heard in our last podcast, we had an advertisement that David and Michelle did for Aussie.
Yeah,
they've got their new forums up and everything, so be sure and go check that out.
Austin Studios. Dave's not wearing underwear.
So in some other news brought to you by our great news gatherer, GQ Tracker, there are some educational, serious games, simulators, and multi-user virtual environments out there that range from games that require simple, repetitive actions such as Tetris to complex digital worlds such as Second Life. And interactive 3D learning objects are currently being developed by Fayetteville Technical Community College.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, where they're providing a tiered approach. Simple demonstration and narration, practice, and evaluation and self-assessment. I guess they're teaching you how to make... cool role-playing games.
Yeah. At first, all those big words, I thought they were teaching like how to attach a flux capacitor and dilithium chamber to.
And evidently, one of the projects that they're working on is called Revolution. And it's a multiplayer role-playing game where students experience history and the American Revolution. That sounds interesting.
I think I've heard something about that before. Like Chaos Thuracat made like a tile set for that. There's some prominent community members working on that, if I recall right.
Yeah, it's actually a mod for Neverwinter Nights. We'll include links in the show notes for you guys to go check that out. We ought to have those guys on the show. That sounds like an interesting subject.
Yeah. Yeah, that would. You know what? I bet you, schools, even, kids, teachers and all that, they got computers in the classroom, and putting something like that, Neverwinter Nights, in schools, they could learn about Benjamin Franklin and they could go kill zombies. I killed three plus two. I killed five zombies.
You should be on Sesame Street. Okay, one last little news item, and then we'll get to what y'all have all been waiting for, the finalists for the AME Awards. Hey, I guess there's a tool out there called Game Accelerator, and they just released version 7.1, and it now supports Neverwinter Nights. So be sure and check that out. We'll create a link to that in the show notes.
The wicked stuff there.
Welcome to the 2008 Golden Dragon Awards.
Okay, with us tonight we have Tony and Taibei, as we mentioned earlier, and they're going to walk us through and announce the finalists for the 2008 Golden Dragon Awards. So you guys been hard at it, huh?
Yep. And to say the least.
Hey, do y'all want to start out and kind of tell us a little bit about what the awards are and how they came about for those that might not know, and maybe what took place over the last however many months it took to put all this together?
Sure. I guess just a little bit of history. The AME got started about 2 years ago. It began basically as an idea on the part of Mocha TGS and some folks in the Reviewers Guild about the idea of trying to have a set of awards that was a little bit more like the Academy Awards than sort of based on that model a little bit. And they started trying to organize, and I heard about it, and a number of others of us heard about it, and thought it was a really interesting and good idea, and got involved in it. And for the last 2 years, we've been trying to make it work, and not too much else to say. I mean, it's just a lot of work. You have to spend a lot of time actually playing games, which I guess is not the worst thing you could be doing. And we've just really been enjoying it.
Cool. Taibei, what was in it for you?
Well, I didn't come on until later in 2006. I joined right at the time when they were just about to release the first set of awards, so I didn't really get to participate the first time. But yeah, like Tony says, it is a little bit of work, but I mean, it's not really work because you're playing a game. I mean, how much work could that really be? I have a blast doing this. And before I really got into the AME, I was, not really into Neverwinter Nights so much anymore than I got into the AME, and then, I haven't stopped since. It's been a great ride.
Cool. Now, I know that that somebody who's been with the awards for quite a long time had to go ahead and take his leave this year. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, Ben. Yeah, BGB Hughes was actually our chairman for the last about a year and a half or so. And his sort of real life temporarily got very busy, and he had to ask, for one of us to try and take over for a while. And so I stepped up for that, and Taipei, agreed sort of to take the vice chairman's role, and we've been trying to keep everything going. And in his absence,
cool.
We miss him, but we're hoping that he'll be back.
Excellent. Okay, so let's get into the categories, and you guys can announce the finalists, which I think everybody's waiting with bated breath to hear. So let's start out with the first category, and that would be Best Role Play Module.
Oh, yeah, but before you do, let me just give a quick context.
Sure.
We basically have three groups of awards. There are the module awards, the custom content awards, and the recognition awards.
Okay.
So we're basically going to go through them in that order, starting, as you said, with the module awards and beginning with the Best Roleplay Module.
Okay.
And the nominees are Swordplay, Chapter 1 by Rogue Knight 333, Shadewood by Festerpot, and A Tangled Web Part 2 by Bruce LaPlante. Well, there were several eligible modules in this category, but you know, these three obviously stood out amongst the rest. Swordflight really enjoyed the roleplay options that you had with NPCs, and as far as it, you know, your character could go several different ways. And Shadewood by Festerpot, if any of you played Elmraven, it's definitely a worthy sequel. You have so many options with your character, and it's mostly a roleplay module. I think there's maybe four battles the whole game, and A Tangled Web Part 2 is definitely worthy of the Tangled Web series by Bruce LaPlante. Tangled Web Part 2, continues the adventure and really gives your character, the roleplay area is all about options for your character, whether you can, instead of going around and just beating the crap out of everything,
Yeah, and one thing that distinguished all of these is that every one of them was well constructed from the perspective of trying to give the player options and interesting options for role play. I think that really stood out actually in all three of them. So the next category in the module categories is Best Dramatic Module, and the nominees are Shadewood by Festerpot, Celestial Chronicles Part 1 by Mad Henchbot, and S4, The Lost Caverns of Chocomp by Sir Otis. So to talk a little bit about these three, I mean, Taipei's already mentioned Shadewood, which here has picked up a second nomination in the Best Dramatic category. Just to talk a little bit about this, the idea behind the Best Dramatic category, it's sort of an outgrowth of what we called the Best Adventure Module last year. But we wanted to try and have a category that focused a little bit more on the idea of not only storytelling in a Neverwinter Nights module, but a module that was structured and designed to tell a story, and to tell a story in a sort of dramatic way with sort of dramatic effect. Not so much focusing on role play options, although it certainly can have those. Not necessarily focusing on action and combat, but just on the dramatic way in which the events and the visuals and all of the custom content and so on are portrayed. So that's sort of the idea behind the dramatic module. Shadewood is a fabulous module for drama. It's extremely well written. It's very well paced. Very good use of dramatic interjections and fabulous custom content and very, very effective cutscenes. Celestial Chronicles Part 1 was actually similar in the sense that it was very well structured for pacing, very dramatic module. Built for that kind of effect. Partly feel like you're almost in some parts of it watching a movie, but one that you can interact with. And again, also very well written. And The Lost Caverns of Chocomp is a pen and paper conversion of an old first edition Dungeons and Dragons module. So while the story isn't necessarily original, what struck us about that one is that it was very just the way in which the sequence of events in the story were presented. Very dramatic use of visuals.
tile sets, load screens, things of that kind, that just gave it a very dramatic feel to it, even though it was not necessarily an original story.
Yeah, to add a little bit to that, especially for S4, there was, it is a pen and paper conversion, but, Sir Otis added a lot of his own content and a lot of his own little Sir Otis-y things to it.
That's true.
All three of these modules really had the sort of dramatic effect. Like, when you play it, you just don't want to put it down, kind of like a good book. And then the next category is Best Action Module. And the nominees are Tales of Time and Death's Feast by Tyndrel, A Tangled Web Part 2 by Bruce Plant, and S4 and the Lost Caverns of Sokan by Sir Otis. I know what you're thinking. How can a module be nominated both in roleplay and action, especially with A Tangled Web Part 2 by Bruce LaFont? Well, this is probably one of the only modules that I've ever played that absolutely fits in both categories. Because it is roleplay. I mean, you definitely have a lot of roleplay options, but it also has a lot of really good action, but it has well-timed action, and the action actually pertains to the roleplay of the story. So it's actually both. And Tales of Time and Death's Feast, that was definitely a very unique module. There were a lot of times when I was playing that module that, I had seen things that I hadn't seen before. But it was really good action, really well-paced. As with the Lost Caverns of SoCam, being a PNP conversion, it's inherently hack and slash based. So it's really, Sir Otis really brought that to the forefront, but while, keeping true to the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Just to add a couple of quick things on that, I mean, there's a lot that I think Taibei and I could both say about all of these modules. One interesting thing about the Lost Caverns of SoCam that I noticed, I'm an old first edition Dungeons & D&D player back from starting in 1980, and I remember a lot of the old creatures from the original Monster Manual that I have not seen in years, and I had totally forgotten about. And when I played the Lost Caverns, I kept running into them and going, oh my god, that's a Lucrata, oh my god, I remember those, I haven't seen one of those in 20 years. And it was just a blast, to have that experience of, sort of becoming reacquainted with creatures and combat challenges that I hadn't seen in such a long time. The next category is Most Replayable Module, and the idea behind Most Replayable Module is that you want to have something that basically when the player finishes it, they say, I want to play this again. And there are various ways that a good replayable module can be structured, often it's nonlinear gameplay where there are different options for different character classes or different choices the player can make. And you see that and want to go back and say, okay, let me try it again, but playing it differently. And also sheer pleasure of the module being so much fun that you want to play it again. But the candidates in that category here are S4, Lost Caverns of SoCount by Sir Otis, A Tangled Web Part 2 by Bruce LaPlant, and Time and Death's Feast by Tyndrel.
So how many times did y'all actually replay these?
Tangled Web I played twice.
I've played SoCant about 3 times.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had time to play all of them multiple times yet. A lot of times what I'll do is, rather than replay a module again from scratch, when I see that the author is putting things into it that allow for different options, I'll save the game, try one option, and then load it back and then try the other option just to see what the different flows are. You don't quite get the same effect as playing it all the way through in two different ways, but often you can see a lot of the different things that the author is trying to do that way.
That's how we cheat.
It looks like those modules really dominate the nominations.
Yeah, there were several very strong modules this year, and I calculated it. On average, there were some modules that were on there once, some on there twice, and some on there 3 times. And on the average, there was each of the nominees fit into about on average two of the categories. And I think that that indicates the fact that they were not, that they were strong not just for a particular type of play, but that they were strong modules overall, that they appealed to more than one type of gameplay element.
Quite a diverse adventure.
Wicked.
And next, we have the Custom Content Awards. Now, the first of which being the Best Custom Content Award. And the nominees are Undead Redo 2 by Sixes Thrice, Lord of Worms Creature Pack by Lord of Worms, and Tom Banjo's Placeables by Tom Banjo. Now, when I went through the custom content, since, you know, I've actually just started getting into building and that kind of stuff, you know, it definitely gives me a new perspective on all this stuff. It was a lot of fun for me, but at any rate, Undead Reduce 2 by Sixes Thrice, he takes the models of the BioWare Undead and then just basically adds a lot to them, modifies them a bit, and makes them look a little more, I think, really the way they should.
A little more dead?
Yeah, a little more dead. Or in, like, you know, the Dracolich's case, a little more sinister looking. And, you know, made him a little darker, gave him fangs, red eyes. It was really cool. And he does really good work, you know, anyway. But, I mean, this really was one that stood out for me.
And then, right, and the animations, the way the ghouls would leap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animations are done really well, too. And the Lord of Worms creature pack, obviously is Lord of Worms. He does great work. He won he won last year for best tile set.
Seasonal Forest.
Yeah, and his creature pack adds it's undead, orcs, and goblins, and it makes them really look more like they really should look like. Instead of, you know, the plain standing green orc type thing, you know, you've got like kind of the hunched over brown orcs with hair and throwing stuff around, and it's just really cool looking. And then Tom Banjo's Placeables, he really makes excellent work. I've been a fan of Tom's work for quite a while, but the Placeables really, they really add a nice feel, a nice element, and in the right environment, they really do just blend right into what you intend to do. And his textures are just absolutely amazing.
Taipei just did the best custom content category, which is the first of our custom content categories. The other is the Best Tile Set Award. And the nominees for Best Tile Set are Cellar Tile Set by Tom Banjo, Barbaric North by S030363L and Chandigarh, and Futuristic City Interior plus Starship Interior by Gudea.
Those sound interesting.
They are. They're actually real. They're all three of them are really good tile sets. Cellar Tile Set is a very interesting, very stylized, exactly what it says. A tile set for a cellar environment. Very good use of textures and colors, and, you know, very evocative, I found. Barbaric North is a very interesting and very well done tile set with a lot of interesting features in it. I haven't had a chance to play with it as much as I'd like to, but it is a really nice one. And Futuristic City Interior is one actually that I'm extremely familiar with because I actually used it myself in when I rebuilt Sanctum of the Archmage 1 last year. I did a major overhaul of it, and there were several areas in the module that I actually used Gudea's Futuristic City Interior for. I was just able to create some really interesting and you know, fascinating looking areas with that. It's built partly on Stacy Starship interiors, but adds a whole lot of very Star Wars-y like areas to it as well.
Yeah, and the tile sets this year, like Darian said, the Cellar tile set was just, it really gave you a really nice environment, and the use of textures was really, really good. It's not a large tile set by any stretch of the imagination, but the features that were added, the textures that were used were just really, really good. And the Barbaric North has been a favorite tile set of mine for quite a while. I really love the features of the tile set. It's really, really user-friendly. It's really easy to build with, and every tile that's put in there just makes sense. Like this is really what should be here, you know, in a sort of like a Arctic environment. And then the futuristic city interior was, you know, definitely you really felt like you were like inside the little starship, maybe like kind of Millennium Falcon-ish meets like, you know, the Death Star corridor type-ish. It was really, really cool looking. Next we have the recognition awards, and we have three recognition awards, the first of which being debut author. And a debut author is an author who hadn't done work before in Neverwinter Nights and released a module that was eligible for use for our purposes. And for the debut author category, the nominees are Broken Knight 333, Tyndrel, and Brad W. Bartram.
What did Brad W. Bartram create? Release?
Brad W. Bartram released A Bard's Tale, which is a remake of the old.
No. That's Jesse Beach.
Oh, Jesse Beach. My bad.
Yes. Brad Bartram is the author of Heaven's Gate and the Kingdom of the Crystals, which was a debut module this year. Extremely long module. I think it was about 60 hours, and it had some very interesting features in it. It was a very good work for a debut appearance, and a number of the members of the Academy felt that it was good enough for a debut author nomination.
The other two authors were previously nominated, Rogue Knight 333. He was nominated for Swordflight Chapter 1, and then we had Tyndrel, who was also nominated for Tales of Time and Death's Feast. Mm-hmm. And all three authors really, they really showed, they were debut modules, they were first-timer modules, but they really felt polished, they really felt complete. They didn't really feel like, you know, this is the newbie sort of module-making area. All the stories were well done, the dialogue was well done, it was, you know, had few errors in the dialogue, like spelling errors, that sort of thing, and, you know, really did feel like a very polished module on all three counts.
Okay, so moving along to the next author award is the Veteran Author Award, and it's sort of the counterpoint to the Debut Author Award. This is an award for, basically to qualify, you have to have produced something in a previous year as an author. The nominees, finalists for the Veteran Author Award are Sir Otis, who this year authored S4, The Lost Caverns of Chocomp. Vesterpot, who had previously built Elmraven and this year had Shadewood. And Bruce LaPlante, who had previously built Tangled Web Part 1 and who now has a Tangled Web Part 2 in the current year's awards. I'm not sure how much more could be said about these three guys, aside from what we've already said in talking about their work, except that these are guys who didn't just do something really good this year. They have a history of doing really good work. Sir Otis has been a prolific and steadfast builder of primarily P&B conversions, from what I understand, for years. And in fact, he won the best P&P award for Neverwinter Nights 1 last year. From the AMA, so he just keeps putting out good and better work. Vesterpot is one of the best builders in the Neverwinter Nights community at this point. He just made an absolutely fantastic module in Elmraven 2 years ago in 2006, which won both the Debut Author Award and the Best Adventure Module Award that year from the AMA, again, is back again with Shadewood with two nominations, actually three if you count his veteran author nomination. And Bruce LaPlante, again, Tangled Web Part 2 is a very interesting module, very seriously put together with a sort of a layered story that gradually unfolds just sort of holds your attention. And all three of these guys are really well known in the community and have a track record of putting together some really good modules.
Do you know the total years they have in the community, like all together?
Let's see.
Probably 12, I would guesstimate, altogether.
Esterpot, I've seen his name around like forever. Same with Sir Otis.
Well, Bruce LaPlante doesn't post a lot on the bio boards, but he's around. But to add to what Tony said, I mean, you have Sir Otis, Sir Otis is an absolute perfectionist with almost everything he's ever done with his modules. I mean, you actually have to look to find something that isn't right or even an error or a bug. And Festerpot, his areas are absolutely amazing. He's a really, really, has a really, really good eye for building a really good area. And then Bruce LaPlante really has a way of identifying with the player and taking you through his adventure. And it really is a really good experience to play his modules.
Does Bruce LaPlante, does he go by a different handle in the community? Because not a lot of people use their real names.
I actually don't know.
I believe Bruce is using his own name.
Wait, really?
Yeah, that's what's on his modules.
And finally, last but not least, the Community Contribution Award is given to individuals or groups who just really contribute to the Neverwinter Nights community and make us what we are today. The nominees for Community Contribution are Carlo One, Jasper, and your very own Skunkeen.
Trying to warm, build up my heart and then rip it out and then throw it on the ground and cover it with gas and set it on fire.
So tell us a little bit about why you chose these three.
Well, Carlo One was, if anybody's ever played multiplayer or ever wanted to be a DM, he administered and made DMFI, and he's put countless hours into helping new DMs, helping us, the AME, with helping us get together our multiplayer awards and everything. And he's just been absolutely, I think that, MP wouldn't be what it is today and DMs wouldn't be what they are today without Carlo One. And Jasper, he's been around the community for a very long time. He is an excellent scripter. He's always on the bio boards giving people help with scripting. If anybody has ever spent any time in a scripting forum or ever had a question, Jasper has always been there to answer. He's a really nice guy. He's been in the community for a very long time, and he's put out a lot of really useful tools as far as scripting goes on the vault. And Skunkeen, I'm not sure what he's in there, really.
Insult.
Here it comes. Insult.
Can you remember why you nominated him again?
I have no idea. The skunk is just, we like the skunk. We can't,
We like to pet the skunk.
Pet the skunk. Just don't smell. Bring tomato juice.
He's been deglanded.
Had to throw in an underdog there, an under skunk. I know this is probably revenge for that mock AME video I made. Doing a pit. The AME Awards and when Asher Khan won for his infected toenails.
Well, really, the real reason why we picked Skunk is because he's been around the community for a long time. He's obviously he's involved with the podcast, he's involved with DMFI, making the vidcast pretty much solo, helping out with the NWCon. Skunk, you're just around everywhere, and anybody who's been in any type of Neverwinter Nights knows who Skunkeen is.
We can't get rid of him!
I know. No matter how hard we try.
Okay, so those are the finalists, folks. Congratulations to everybody. So y'all feel a sense of relief now that you've got that out?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
And as we speak, I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement page on the AME site live, and I'll post that in the IRC when it's ready. Cool. And there should be links to QK's absolutely fabulous video finalist videos that he put together for to introduce all of these finalists. Do we have any questions?
I haven't seen any yet. Yeah. Anybody in IRC have any questions for the Academy for Modding Excellence people?
How are they going to compete with Carlo 1 and Jasper? Carlo 1 is like one of the DM gods. I've been just like one of the DM demigods. And Jasper, he's been like a legend code monkey. Last year, y'all picked Axe Murderer.
And Axe was one of the ones that, he said that, and he sent me a message a long time ago, and he said that this, this group of people, I think, should be, up for my award, and we looked into it, and Jasper was, he was on that list, and, we ended up looking into what he was doing, and we couldn't, it's almost like we couldn't not nominate him.
Yeah.
I'm not too much of a fool. I know y'all in your private forums probably said, hey, let's put in Skunkeen, LOL, and y'all did.
No, there was actually quite a bit of enthusiasm for your nomination.
Yeah. There was, yes. Invictus asks, how long until the NWN 2 Awards?
Excuse me, the Neverwinter Nights 2 Awards, we had to delay slightly, partly because of the fact that we just had a really big workload, and several of our members had concerns and issues come up that took them away from being able to participate. So we've pushed the Neverwinter Nights 2 Awards, most of the work, into the early part of the summer. So we're doing nominations for them now. I believe the finalists should be announced probably toward the end of June. And hopefully around August we should have the winners. At least that's the current schedule.
Yeah, that and the really nice bug that when SOZ came out squished a whole bunch of modules. That was quite lovely.
That's true. We had to delay our testing a little bit until a lot of the modules that we wanted to test would work again.
Another question, AME question. What are the plans next year for choosing an award? Will they be including Dragon Age due to the fact that they're using the NWN1 or the NWN toolset? Well, have plans to include Dragon Age yet, but it might be something that we might do in the future. It is using a very similar toolset to Neverwinter Nights as well. But for next year's awards, we are planning on doing awards next year. At least I am. Even if it's just me. Taibei hands out awards. Lisa wins for having the reddest hair.
The Dragon Age question, it's actually a subject that I've been thinking about. We haven't had any discussion about it, but I have had it in mind as a question to throw out when our current cycle is done with, to throw open the question, do we want to see about starting to cover Dragon Age. I think part of the issue with that is that, from what I understand, Dragon Age won't really be released until the later part of the year. So if you give a requisite amount of time for people to start making modules, it's probably a year and a half before we would be in a position to have enough material for Dragon Age to be able to cover it. Because I think next year it'll be a situation where Dragon Age has just got going, and there might be a few things out there, but we wouldn't necessarily want to do awards for the game if it's only been out for a few months.
See, what I was really thinking is that basically along the same lines as Adarian was saying, we have, when we first did the Neverwinter Nights 2 awards, Neverwinter Nights 2 was released around the middle of the year, then we didn't have awards that year, but we had awards the following year covering not only the year of 2007, but also 2006, or basically from when the game began until that day, and that's exactly what I was thinking for Dragon Age. If we do take on Dragon Age, it wouldn't be next year, but probably the year after.
Exactly, I was thinking the same thing.
I just thought of a question.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
For the NWN2 awards, do you have the same categories, or are they slightly a little bit different?
Slightly a little bit different. Thanks for reminding me about that, because I had wanted to mention it. There are two additional categories that we haven't talked about so far. I don't know if you've noticed that the module awards, there are a couple of them that were missing from what we announced this year that we had done last year. One is the pen and paper conversion, and we basically had decided that we needed to cut down our workload a little bit because we've only got so many members, and we sort of merged the pen and paper conversion into the other categories. Figured that, you know, the modules that would be that would qualify as P&P conversions would be covered under the other categories. The other is the multiplayer rewards, and that's just basically been a function of the fact that we just, as it's turned out this year, we don't have enough players with the experience in multiplayer to support that. We're actively looking for them, and I do have some hopes that if we were able to get some multiplayer players to sign up and help out with the AME, that we might be able to do the multiplayer rewards sometime in the fall. But as it stands right now, those have sort of been are on hold. And the last category is the sound and music category, which is a joint category for both Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. And so basically we do that award whenever we do the second of the two awards. So we're actually going to be doing the sound and music awards with the Neverwinter Nights 2 awards. Actually, we've also, one thing that we did realize is that for Neverwinter Nights 2, because of the differences in the game, the best tile set award really wasn't a very good fit. So after some discussion, we've decided to replace that with another custom content category, best 3D content.
Oh, cool.
That we thought made a little bit more sense with the focus of Neverwinter Nights 2.
That makes sense.
So anyway, about the announcement with the videos, I just posted a link into the AME, the chat window. So if you guys, I think if you go to that, you should be able to get links to the videos.
Okay, we have another question. Who makes the AME videos and how did you make them? Well, QKRCH, our resident cockroach, makes the videos for us. And as for how do we make them, we use fraps, usually in-game, and then we just, you know, run around and find, like, little cool areas to beat the stuff out of people, and that's how we get the clips for the videos.
Yeah, basically, we try to get the members to volunteer to do as many clips for the modules that they're playing as you know, as they're able to. Unfortunately, not everyone's able to run the video capture software. But that's basically how we do it. There's a little bit more to it. You know, there's we capture them with fraps, and then to some extent we have to do conversions to reduce the size because fraps will generate absolutely enormous files that need to be compressed down to something a little bit more manageable. But then basically we hand them off to QK and he does his magic, and the end result of that is the stuff that you see on our website.
Okay, so hey, these are the NWN1 finalists. And then pretty soon you'll be announcing the NWN2 finalists. Then how soon can we expect to hear who the winners are?
Well, I mentioned for Neverwinter Nights 2 that we're aiming for August to have the winners identified. For Neverwinter Nights 1, our deadline is in June. So probably a little over a month from now, you'll know who the winners are for Neverwinter Nights 1.
Cool. I don't think I could behave that long.
We know you can't behave that long.
But, well, Skunk, you can't behave now.
That gives him plenty of time to do a new video. You realize that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I thought of another question. So do you have any special events planned for either the finalists or the winners of any of this coming up as well?
You want to take that, Ty?
Sure. Yeah, I'll take that. I know that... I'm going to be organizing an IRC chat after the finalists are announced, and we'll do an IRC chat with the finalists, or not the finalists, but the winners. We'll get them all together. We'll get ample time to actually announce it and let everybody know that we're going to have an IRC chat when it's going to be. But I definitely want to have a chat with the finalists so that way we can ask them questions about, you know, what inspired them to do their modules and that thing. I do basically the same thing that we did last year.
Okay, so you're going to have a chat with the finalists and the winners?
Just the winners this year, only because, last year when we did the finalists, it was a lot of people to get together at one time. There were a lot of people in one chat room and everybody talking at the same time, so it was really difficult for us to actually keep everything in line and then have... Yeah, we chatted for about an hour and a half, but we only got through maybe a third of the questions that we actually had for all of the finalists. So we figure we'll just whittle it down a little bit for this year, and and just do the winners.
Okay, be sure and let us know about that, and we'll announce it for you on the podcast as well.
Got it.
Will do.
Okay, hey guys, thanks for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. It's always a privilege to have you guys on. And
thanks for having us.
I know you guys have put a lot of hard work into this, and I know everybody appreciates it, and of course I know the finalists do. And so everybody out there who's listening and who listens to the podcast, please get on the AME website and show them your appreciation and tell them how much you really like that they're doing this for the community. Any last words y'all want to say before we let you go?
No, just thanks for having us on, and it was a pleasure to be here.
Join the AME.
Ah, yes, I'm sorry, I forgot that.
No, you want to. We always put, posts up on Never Winter Nights boards and say, hey, volunteer to join us. But we really do mean it. I mean, if you want to join, let us know. We will absolutely take more members, as many as we can get. You don't have to be a builder. You don't have to be a custom content creator. All you have to do is be a fan of the game. And, if you're already playing Never Winter Nights and if you're already playing independent modules, why not give us a little bit of time? You're already halfway there.
In the same lines of making a plug for trying to get folks who might be interested in helping us with the AME, there are several areas that we are we're looking for support in, and I just figured I'd mention those. We're actively working on the Never Winter Nights 2 awards now, so if there are any Never Winter Nights 2 players who might be interested in joining us and helping us with those awards, they'd be more than welcome. As I said, we're trying to build our multiplayer group, and would hope to try to be able to do awards for the multiplayer categories as well, both in Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2. And one other thing that we've been trying to do is to, and this is something we wanted to do from the very beginning of the formation of the AME, which is to have an international modules category. And we've basically been unable to, despite our interest in doing that, we haven't really been able to, primarily because we don't have enough folks on the panel who have the requisite language skills. It's the kind of thing where if you want to do an international modules award, you have to have enough people who speak French and Italian and Spanish and German and maybe a couple of other languages to be able to support that. So we're actively recruiting for and looking for people who might be interested in helping us with that. If we get enough sort of critical mass of folks with those language skills, we might actually be able to do an international modules award, and that's something we would really love to be able to do.
As y'all know, or may not know, we in the forums we have what we call the Cookie Jar Forum, and in there we invite anybody that wants to come in and do like little mini reviews of modules or custom content or persistent worlds or anything that you play. So let's see what's in the cookie jar this week. NWN1 Lankomar Knights. Did I say that right?
Yeah, it sounded like you did.
Well, golly, must be a blue moon. So we'll also include links to that, so you can check that out. Here's what Stryker writes about it. Another rogue or fighter-oriented module. Took him some time to tear himself away from it, because it really takes you into the world of Niwon. And so he said, great job to the builder. The other one that we had in the cookie jar is Talsets Galore, is what it's entitled. I believe you wrote this one in, Tyvee.
Oh, yeah.
Sixus Thrice has been putting out fine work for a long time. Wildlands, Deep Dungeon, and the newest edition, Undercity Sewers, are no exception to this. His page has already made the Hall of Fame, but that was mainly for Wildlands, which was released first. Sixus Thrice has since added Deep Dungeon and Undercity Sewers to his page, further solidifying his hold on the community. Sixus Thrice has also been one to put out work when it's finished and has reached the quality standard he's put on himself, which is extremely high. So Tyvee also goes on to say, waiting to release work until it's ready is a commendable attitude to have.
Right. Yes, it is. I mean, he really spends his time to do everything right instead of just putting it out for the sake of putting it out. And you really have to respect that about him. And he's also a Project Q member. And I believe he's a site administrator over on their Q site.
Okay, so that's all. Oh, I'm sorry.
And a former AME member from last year.
Yes, that is true.
Cool. Okay, so that's all the cookies in the cookie jar. One more thing to mention. If you haven't already checked us out, we're on Facebook now. Just look up NWN Podcast or Neverwinter Nights Podcast, all spelled out on Facebook. Or you can click the button on our front page.
I'm a fan.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I couldn't get into it. We were getting a new fan. And the new fan is Paul J. Hume. And then some other fans that we have are Danny Kennedy from Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. David R. Lampert from Springfield, Missouri. That's our Vivictus X. Oh. George Groton, who is the George. Stacy Hoffman from Central Jersey, New Jersey.
Yes, I know her.
You know who that is?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Oh, cool. Edward Reisel. James Beek from Australia. That's cool. And then from Israel, Ido Setter. Randy Hargis is another fan. Stephen Kennedy from London. John McNeil from Houston, Texas.
Her name sounds familiar.
That would be our Roannon.
Huh.
Another fan is Jenny Swanton. Doesn't say where she's from. Mark Allen Dubon.
There we go.
Durbin. Rob McGinnis from Orange County, California. Y'all know who he is?
No.
Yep.
He's a fan. Ernie Noah. I wonder if Ernie Noah is going to ever get back in the building. You'll think he will?
Probably. He can't stay away.
I tried begging him to stay.
Daniel, a.k.a. Cockroach from Spain. Another from Israel, Striker B. I don't know if I can pronounce his real name. Vashki Mashkalov.
Bless you.
Thank you. And then our very own Dave, a.k.a. Each Surf, and Michelle. Yay! Okay, so that's the show for this week. Tony, Taibe,
hey.
why don't y'all say, until next week.
Get in game.
And level up, level up, level up, level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.
Hi, this is Undarian of the Zap.
Hi, this is and this is Ty Ender, a.k.a. Ty Bay, and you are listening to the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
What did you say at the beginning?
Hi, this is
do yours one more time.
I'll do that again. Thank you. And the nominees are nominees. Yeah. And it's here. my wife actually let me out of the bathroom to record this show. Lisa's question.
Was that somebody's question?
That was Lisa's question.
Oh, can I go back just for a quick second to
go back to Tabe's bathroom? Okay.
No.
That'd be some good work, Tony, since you're on the other side of the country.
Is a place.
Mysteries of Westgate.
Where you can go.
Darkness over Daggerfall.
To share your thoughts and opinions.
Future projects.
heard by the developer.
Ocean Studios.
The Ocean Studios Forums is the place to go for all things Ocean, including the Mysteries of Westgate Adventure Pack. Check it out at OceanStudios.com.
I'm Alexander, aka Luke Skull, and I'm lead designer with Ocean Studios.
Code Poets, also known as Kevin Smith, lead technical designer.
This is Alan Miranda, CEO of Ocean Studios and producer on Mysteries of Westgate, and we are live. Join us at OceanStudios.com.